Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Anila nijonne go shabothya, nijonne go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawha Takwasin, to all of our relations.
Go!
Music from the drum Northern Cree off their Canaan Records CD entitled Nikamu, meaning to sing. The name of that powwow song was The Dream. I featured that song as an expression of our hope, our dream, that our Mother Earth and all life will be better respected and cared for in the future. We dream of peace, equality, and justice for all peoples. Ashwe, greetings and hello, everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Today's broadcast is program 2 of our special Wolf Mountain radio series entitled Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International. This program series shares conversations with fellow participants I spoke with at the 2009 Amnesty International USA Florida statewide meeting. Yad Kiddushi Native Center is not only dedicated to fighting for Native rights, especially sovereignty and self-determination of Indigenous peoples throughout the world, but also fighting for the dignity, justice, equality, and human rights of all peoples. Human rights have always been a basic principle of Indigenous societies. Native cultural spiritual lifeways have ethics and traditional laws that have always ensured dignity, equality, and justice within our tribes. The sacred Quahog Wampum treaty belts of Eastern Woodland Indians, such as my Wabanaki people, exemplify how our ancient codes of conduct guide and teach each generation to have reverence for all life, as well as concern and respect for all peoples. Historically, human rights in Western societies have generally been categorized into 5 focused areas: civil, political, cultural, economic, and social rights. We at Yad Kiddushi Native Center, like other Native peoples, consider the health of our Mother Earth, the well-being of our planet's environment, an equally important universal right. Human rights, as defined in the 1948 Universal Declaration of Human Rights, should be the promise of everyone. Unfortunately, even now, in 2009, 61 years since that historic declaration, many people do not have full human rights. Indigenous peoples, women, children, some religious communities, and a number of marginalized minority populations are examples of those who are often denied full human rights. On December 10, 1948, the United Nations General Assembly Resolution 217A adopted and proclaimed the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It consists of a preamble and 30 articles. Due to time constraints, I will only read the UDHR's preamble. The full text is available online by a Google search of Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights preamble. Whereas recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world. Whereas disregard and contempt for human rights have resulted in barbarous acts which have outraged the conscience of mankind, and the advent of a world in which human beings shall enjoy freedom of speech and belief and freedom from fear and want has been proclaimed as the highest aspiration of the common people. Whereas it is essential, if man is not to be compelled to have recourse as a last resort to rebellion against tyranny and oppression, that human rights should be protected by the rule of law. Whereas it is essential to promote the development of friendly relations between nations. Whereas the peoples of the United Nations have in the Charter reaffirmed their faith in fundamental human rights and the dignity and worth of the human person and in the equal rights of men and women, and have determined to promote social progress and better standards of life and larger freedom. Whereas member states
have pledged themselves to achieve, in cooperation with the United Nations, the promotion of universal respect for and observance of human rights and fundamental freedoms, whereas a common understanding of these rights and freedoms is of the greatest importance for the full realization of this pledge. Now, therefore, the General Assembly proclaims this Universal Declaration of Human Rights as a common standard of achievement for all people and all nations, to the end that every individual and every organ of society, keeping this declaration constantly in mind, shall strive by teaching and education to promote respect for these rights and freedoms, and by progressive measures, national and international, to secure their universal and effective recognition and observance, both among the peoples of member states themselves and among the peoples of territories under their jurisdiction, unquote. And that was the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Violations of human rights are often perpetrated by governments or non-state actors that carry out various forms of abuse. Several examples include disappearances, when people are taken and their situation or location is concealed. The U.S. government's rendition policy is such an example. Torture and other forms of cruel or degrading treatment or punishment. Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq is such an example. Detention of political prisoners, often held without a fair or speedy trial, or a sham trial process that doesn't follow rules of jurisprudence, is an example. The case of Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier is such an example. Return of refugees or those seeking political asylum to countries they fled from place those persons in great risk and usually subject to abuse. Transfer of persons from one country to another, often done by military or intelligence agencies where the recipient country undertakes human rights abuse. Excessive use of force by law enforcement, including profiling people on the basis of race or ethnicity. Forced military conscription, such as using children in armed conflicts, as seen in various wars around the world. Deliberate, arbitrary, and indiscriminate killings done by government soldiers or guerrilla fighters. Murder of innocent villagers, like I saw in Guatemala, is an example. The actions of corporations working with government. The case of Shell Oil and Nigerian officials killing Ogoni organizer Ken Sawawiwa and other Ogoni tribesmen. Discrimination and xenophobia towards cultural or religious minorities, as well as serious gender restrictions and harsh practices towards women, for example, honor killings of women by men. This is why it is necessary to be a part of the worldwide movement for peace, justice, and human rights. This is why organizations such as Amnesty International is such an important global network of people who care about human dignity and freedoms. Yad Kiddushi Native Center shares Amnesty International's vision of a world in which every person enjoys all of the human rights enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other international human rights standards. This is why Yad Kiddushi Native Center has long been a longtime supporter of Amnesty International. This year, I had the honor to attend Amnesty International USA Florida statewide meeting. The Florida statewide meeting was very special due to the fact that the majority of organizers and participants were students and youth. In previous national and state Amnesty International conferences I've attended over the years, there have often only been a few young people in attendance. Yad Kiddushi Native Center considers it vitally important to listen and encourage young people. This is why I accompanied a number of students from Florida Gulf Coast University, where I am a lecturer and curriculum advisor. I especially want to thank my young friend, Rob Manaus, a volunteer coordinator of Amnesty International here in Southwest Florida. I encourage all of our worldwide listeners to visit Amnesty International's website to learn more about Amnesty International's history, mission, and specific campaigns. I urge people to join Amnesty International to become part of the worldwide movement for human rights for all humanity. Amnesty International's website is www.amnesty.org. Once again, Amnesty International's website, www.amnesty.org. Please listen now to Wolf Mountain Radio's conversation, Voices from Amnesty International. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, kinawantakwasin to all of our relations. My first guest on the program today is Mandy Hood. Mandy is a volunteer activist with Amnesty International. This morning, Mandy presented a workshop on a new priority of Amnesty International, AI's Dignity Campaign. Amnesty International's Dignity Campaign links the issues of poverty with human rights. It is a very important aspect of economic, social, and cultural rights for all peoples. Dignity means respect, equality, and justice. Everyone deserves equitable access to the necessities of life: nutritious food, shelter, health care, education, decent work, and financial security. All people should have the right to participate in the decisions that impact their lives and communities as equal citizens of the global community. For Indigenous peoples, this means the rights of sovereignty and self-determination. People who suffer poverty generally do not fully have what should be these universal rights. The number of poor people in the world barely existing on the margins of survival is still a great tragedy confronting humanity. Unfortunately, impoverishment for millions of people is increasing daily. Many of us who work to ameliorate this human condition do not see major improvements in the well-being of the world's poor in the near future. Poverty must be seen as a violation of human dignity, human rights. In the words of my hero, Nelson Mandela, quote, "Like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is man-made, and it can be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings. And overcoming poverty is not a gesture of charity. It is an act of justice. It is the protection of a fundamental human right, the right to dignity and a decent life," unquote. And that was words from Nelson Mandela. At this time, it is my pleasure to welcome Mandy Hood to Wolf Mountain Radio. In addition to volunteering with Amnesty International, Mandy works as a community organizer for the Florida-based organization War on Poverty, known as WPF. WPF is dedicated to the revitalization of minority communities. War on Poverty tries to reduce poverty and racial inequality. Mandy, in addition to briefly introducing yourself to our worldwide audience, let's begin our conversation about Amnesty International's Dignity Campaign. In today's program introduction, I mentioned you gave a workshop session this morning on this very important new campaign. The Demand Dignity Campaign is a subject area of special significance to Yad Kiddushi Native Center, especially since the majority of Indigenous peoples throughout the world are the poorest of the poor. Native peoples are the most disregarded and marginalized communities. Indigenous peoples' poverty is seen in the poorest socioeconomic indicators: lowest life expectancy, lowest health and nutrition conditions, highest infant mortality, lowest annual income, lowest levels of education, highest unemployment, per capita fewest number of home ownership, and highest levels of alcoholism, drug abuse, and suicide. This is why Yad Kodesh Native Center considers the Dignity Campaign a very important priority of Amnesty International, because the world's indigenous peoples deserve the same respect, equality, and justice that all people everywhere should have as a universal human right. Mandy, welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Hi everyone, my name is Mandy Hood, and I have been a volunteer leader with Amnesty International for I think over 6 or 7 years now. And I've led positions like Student Area Coordinator, Stop Violence Against Women Campaign Coordinator, and currently I do a lot of workshops and trainings within the region. And today I did a workshop on, it was called the Dignity Campaign, a primer on economic, social, and cultural rights. And it was really looking at how to incorporate the issues of economic, social, and cultural rights more into the mainstream human rights language of the Western countries, and looking at how we begin our work within these issues and how they're all connected to this greater issue of, you know, universal rights and inalienable rights and indivisible rights.
Mandy, it is encouraging to see many students and young people participating at this Amnesty International conference. It gives me more hope for the dream many of us have, that someday soon, all peoples everywhere will live in peace, justice, equality, and free from hunger and poverty. We hope the important promise of the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights and all other human rights standards shall be, in fact, enjoyed by everyone. For this to come to fruition, it will require people all over the world to become activists for human rights, especially young people of your generation. Therefore, I always like to ask people I meet who are working for a better world, what inspired or motivated you to care about our world and work for justice?
It's not a complicated question, but I feel like it kind of was just a calling to me. I grew up in a home that was taxed with like domestic violence, and also I grew up in a community in the South that was just very divided and very segregated, and I just started realizing when I was young how things upset me and how my own experiences were affecting me, and I just, for some reason, moving on, it was just what I needed to do and what I wanted to do. It was less of a want, it really was a need. It was like I saw this and I couldn't like see it without moving. So
Mandy, my next question is about community organizing. This is something you and I have in common. I've spent many years as an environmental and social justice organizer, primarily in Native communities. You work as an organizer for the organization War on Poverty that focuses on projects in predominantly people of color, so-called minority neighborhoods. I prefer the term people of culture, so that it is inclusive of all peoples. I have a lot of appreciation for your work, especially since you are not, without meaning any disrespect, a person of color. I'm sure it can be challenging for an Anglo, a white person, to understand the nuances of working with a different culture and ethnicity. Working with distinct tribal peoples in various geographic places in the world, as well as my years of building alliances between people of color communities, I know it is very important to listen and learn from each individual community before one can effectively assist any community. This principle is one of the most important lessons I share with activist groups, especially student and youth organizations Yad Kodesh Native Center networks with. Mandy, would you please share your thoughts about community organizing, especially the need for white activists to evaluate their cultural backgrounds so that it does not create problems? As an example, socioeconomic status, sometimes called privilege, is an important aspect to check. Organizers need to allow and even encourage community people to speak for themselves, rather than the so-called organizer expert. Yad Kodesh Native Center conducts many training workshops on this critical point, which is so important to me, and which I'm sure is important to you.
Thank you. Yes, currently I'm a community organizer for an organization that works on an anti-poverty initiative, and it's really looking at building wealth in communities of culture, which I do, I like that term too. It was the first time I ever heard someone use it. And it's really just looking at how we can help to empower communities, how we can assist communities. And the organization functions in the way of being able to get the different strategies and the needs of the community met. And we do that by listening constantly to the community, involving them. They are the community board, and really, you know, focusing our efforts around the needs and the desires of the community. And so I guess I always make it very important, especially within, you know, amnesty and emerging activists, to be able to talk about what it means to own your privilege and also to step back from your privilege. Because the reality is even if you're vocal and you try to stand up for other people, you have to recognize your place. And, you know, you can recognize your place as a sexist man, or you can recognize your place as a straight person, and you can recognize your place as, you know, a white person. So it's being able to understand that everyone has value. We come from different communities, we come from different cultures within communities and within different races even. So we have to be able to acknowledge how to step up and how to step back from issues. If we're talking too much in an event or in a room, then we have to recognize that maybe someone else's voice is not being heard. And the concept of empowerment is less about me doing it for you, and it's more about being able to provide the resources and to help connect the dots with what your desires are. Because you can't have a community movement if the community is not interested, if it's not involved, and there's no buy-ins.
Deep in the belly of mothers, black miners slavery will offer a world of riches, a wealth of diamonds and of gold to fill the boys' endless coffers. Because my children hunger, we can buy it no longer. We will buy it no longer. Until this nation's a free land.
Mandela, Mandela,
apartheid's been closed, we'll never hold you because we are
Mandela, Mandela,
millions fighting in the spirit of Mandela. These white man's comforts spring from the tears of my mothers, extracted from my people's blood and sweat, distilled from this river of tears. A fighting crop, it will appear. Oh, a strong and fighting crop appears to liberate our stolen land. Fighting bravely to assure apartheid's reign will soon be over. And though many have been slain, these heroes won't have died in vain. We will remember every name as we march on to victory.
Mandela!
We are the martyrs of Charlottesville. We are the heroes of
Music from the All People Singers off their Songs of Struggle cassette recording. The name of that song was Mandela, an honor song to Nelson Mandela and all the freedom fighters who fought against the white racist Afrikaans apartheid regime. In the mid-1980s, I was living in what's now called Boston, Massachusetts, the traditional tribal area of the once Shamut Indian people. They, like black South Africans and other indigenous peoples throughout history, greatly suffered white conquest and oppression from a foreign invader. During that time, not only did I broadcast Wolf Mountain Radio weekly on WMFO-FM, but I also had the privilege to co-produce WMFO's FM weekly Radio Free South Africa program. That, of course, was when the African National Congress struggle and the international support for Free South Africa was a major movement. One of the highlights of that time was the opportunity for me to volunteer as an East Coast press secretary for the National Tour of Solidarity to free Nelson Mandela and Native American political prisoner Leonard Peltier. Both imprisoned by government injustice, I am appreciative that Amnesty International campaigned for both warriors' freedom. While we celebrated the end of apartheid, Nelson Mandela's release from Robben Island Prison, and Mandela's presidency of a new South Africa, our brother Leonard Peltier's freedom and justice is still being denied after more than 33 years of abuse and misconduct by the U.S. government. This is why I urge Wolf Mountain Radio listeners to support the movement to free Leonard Peltier and all political prisoners throughout the world by joining Amnesty International and other human rights organizations. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. I am here at the 2009 Amnesty International USA Florida Conference, speaking with some of my fellow participants. Currently, I'm talking with Mandy Hood. Mandy is a volunteer activist with Amnesty International, as well as a community organizer with the non-governmental organization War on Poverty. Mandy, one major concern many people of color have had about Amnesty International in the past is that Amnesty International did not have very much or care about cultural, racial, or gender diversity. In other words, AI's USA membership was at least perceived as a predominantly white upper middle class organization. Few of any so-called minorities, women or youth, were part of the decision-making upper management structure. Yad Kadishi Native Center hopes Amnesty International reaches out more to people of color, people of culture, in order to have more member, staff, and leadership diversity. Another important aspect of concern regarding Amnesty International and some other human rights groups was most of Amnesty's priorities in the past were limited to narrow definitions of what are human rights. Certainly, Amnesty International's traditional focus on issues such as political prisoners, torture, and the death penalty are important key areas. However, it is great to see Amnesty International broaden its understanding of abuse and threats to humanity by working on other issues that violate human dignity, human rights. Mandy, would you please comment?
Thank you. This might be a bit controversial. I don't always get the best response to it, but I have always said, and I'm actually working on a national working group because of part of it, but I have always said that human rights is a privilege, because when you're fighting for survival and basic needs, a lot of times you don't have the opportunity to be able to go to meetings, to be able to have the resources to attend events. So I really believe 100% that we need to diversify more, and we need to be able to reach out to communities regardless of the resources the community has, to be able to include the voice and the opportunity to be able to move forward with the movement and to help to be able to be a cohesive movement in itself. You know, I just believe that us moving full spectrum is a piece of being able to look at a lot of issues that individuals face and communities face within our immediate communities and how we can connect it to a larger issue. Working in, you know, the economic rights industry and understanding the components of the political, civil, social, and cultural, which is necessary to be able to do a comprehensive effort, there's a vast need, because I see certain things like economic rights as a preventative measure to a lot of human rights abuses that occur, and not saying that that's the only way that you can focus, because we need the methods that help to alleviate and respond to current conditions that have been created, but we need something that is focused on preventative measures, because that does not occur in the U.S. It just hasn't been happening.
In today's program introduction, I spoke about the importance of listening to, learning from, and encouraging young people to become more engaged in efforts to create a better world for all life, keeping in mind the ethic, thinking globally and acting locally. Mandy, I am proud of the work you are doing as a young woman. It gives me hope for the future whenever I see youth activists like the students here at this Amnesty International meeting. Now in the 21st century, Mother Earth and all of humanity are facing many serious planetary problems. It really is up to young people to deal with the difficult issues impacting our life-supporting environment, the conditions of poverty, global hunger, poor health care, cultural, racial, social, economic, gender, and political injustice that so many people around the world suffer. How do you feel about your generation's attitude towards the future? Do many young people care about our planet's well-being? Do they care about justice and human rights?
I think yes and no. We often replicate what our parents tell us, so I think that my generation struggles with that. I think, though, that we have a really good opportunity to be able to move forward and to move past some of the issues. Like, my parents grew up during Jim Crow laws in the South. They grew up in a number of different circumstances, and I think that we have the opportunity to take those lessons, good or bad, that we learned from growing up in the South and being able to move forward. So I think that we have a lot of potential, but I think we also have a lot of outside mechanisms, like different things trying to teach us not to believe in the concept of human rights and dignity. It's easier to exploit a person than it is to fight for the rights of a person. And I really think that we just have to be able to mobilize at a level where everyone is able to relate to it, and that there's a commonality, and that there is a way of being able to explain why human rights is a personal right, and that everyone should have all of these rights.
Crops are all in, and the peaches are rotting. The oranges are piled in the creosote dumps. You're flying them back to the Mexican border to pay all their money to wait back again. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesús y María. You won't have your names when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportee. My mother and father, they waited that river. They took all the money they made in their lives. My sisters and brothers come working the fruit trees, and they rode the trucks till they took down and died. Some of us are illegal and others not wanted. Our work contract's out and we have to move on. It's 600 miles to that Mexican border. They chase us like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesús y María. You won't have your names when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be died in your hills and we died in your deserts. We died in your valleys and died on your plains. We died 'neath your trees and we died in your bushes. Both sides of the river we died just the same. A sky plane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon. A fireball of lightning that shook all our hills. Who are all these dear friends all scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deportees. Is this the best way we can grow these big orchards? Is this the best way we can grow our good food? To fall like dry leaves, to rot on the topsoil, and be called by no name except deportee. Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesús y María. You won't have your names when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportee.
Music from the All People Singers cassette recording. The name of that song was Deportee. One of the most egregious examples of human indignity, human rights abuse, is American policy and treatment of people termed illegal aliens. This is a major issue of concern here at Amnesty International's conference. America's Department of Homeland Security, federal police agencies, ICE and CPB, referring to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, have histories of mistreatment of detainees in violations of human rights. During the years of dictatorships and warfare in what's now called Central America, the infamous 1980s, many people lived in terror from both government and military and anti-government guerrilla fighters. Kidnappings, torture, rape, burning of villages, and murder were all too common. I witnessed some of these atrocities in 1985 as a journalist reporting from Central America. This really opened up my eyes to the historical U.S. economic colonial control and contemporary involvement of the United States in that region. The School of the Americas, which continue to this day to train police and military officers in intelligence and warfare techniques, the U.S. providing military advisors, weapons, and equipment, Washington's political support of brutal governments, and the economic exploitation of agricultural, energy, and natural resources, often by U.S.-backed multinational corporations, explain why so many people fled their countries. Many victims of the situation in Central America, despite the efforts of the sanctuary movement, which I participated in, were nonetheless deported back to their countries. Many of those persons faced certain imprisonment, torture, and even death once back in their homelands. It is a sad irony that now, a generation since that time, many people from Latin America, due to poverty, risk their lives to cross the U.S. border. Globalization and trade agreements such as NAFTA, CAFTA, and FTAA have greatly added to the uprooting of people from the global south trying to come to live and work in the U.S. A large number of so-called illegal immigrants are the very people who harvest our food or work in menial jobs most Americans will not do. In some cases, The conditions are nothing short of servitude. American agribusiness and food industries exploitation of farm workers, especially those undocumented laborers without working visas, is an especially troubling situation. Like many Native Americans of my generation, I grew up harvesting blueberries, cranberries, apples, and potatoes. We worked long, hot days for minimal pay. Often we Indians were looked down upon, disrespected, and even at times abused by the farm owners. I remember migrant workers from the Caribbean and Central South America sometimes working with us Indians in the fields, being treated just as badly as us Native people. This is why I've been a longtime supporter of farm worker struggle for dignity and justice. Longtime listeners to Wolf Mountain Radio have heard our coverage of the National United Farm Workers Movement, the UFW that Cesar Chavez led. As a neighbor and ally of the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, I am proud to be a participant in CAW's actions and campaigns for improving the lives of poor people, especially farm workers, since CIW began. Despite the 2003 International Convention on the Protection of the Rights of All Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families, human rights violations still continues. This is why Wolf Mountain Radio encourages listeners to support the fight for human dignity, human rights. Mandy, again, I want to thank you for not only all the important work you do, but also for sharing your views with us today on Wolf Mountain Radio. I often like to ask my guests if they have any last comments they wish to express to our worldwide listeners.
I just wanted to share this thank you to you. I really appreciated having you in the workshop that we had today. I think it's important that a lot of times we, you know, no matter how good our intentions, we fail to recognize the different conditions through which people face and the different ways in which it occurs. And I really appreciated you bringing a lot of things to the table that wouldn't have been said if you weren't there. So thank you.
El sol, pero no la luz de mi alma. En un día como hoy caminaré más despacio. En un día como hoy defenderé mi verdad. En un día como hoy te amarraré con mis brazos.
You are listening to Yat-Kidichi Native Centers, Honoring Mother Earth and Indigenous Voices. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices focuses on protecting Mother Earth and defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples. We are broadcasting on Radio for Peace International. Radio for Peace is the voice of peace, promoter of the environment, champion of human rights, denouncer of hate and injustice, advocate of the oppressed, defender of truth. Radio for Peace International is global community radio.
The song you just heard prior to our Yat-Kidichi Native Center program identification was from CIW's cassette Musica de la Coalición de Trabajadores de Immokalee, music from the Coalition of Immokalee Workers CD. The name of that song, featuring Juans, was entitled Un Día Normal, a normal day. For most poor migrant workers, a so-called normal day is one of hardship and poverty. Farm workers in America, as here in Southwest Florida, live in overcrowded, unsanitary, and unsafe housing. They are charged exorbitant amounts of money for food and rent. There are no real other choices to live elsewhere. Federal immigration patrols and a racist sheriff department is another source of worry for migrant workers. Southwest Florida is still part of the Deep South, Dixieland. Here, the white landowner's good old boy political and economic system still controls this unofficial segregated society. The typical farm worker's day starts early morning, waking up just before dawn. A migrant worker hopes he or she will get chosen by a grower's crew boss just to work all day in the hot sun, picking crops. Many crew bosses treat workers badly, caring little about their dignity or their needs to make a living wage in order to survive. Farm workers only get paid per bucket of produce picked. Sometimes workers must sit many hours on the bus without pay until the morning mist on the ag crops have dried off. Even after a day of exhaustive field work, workers are lucky if they make enough money for their needs. Farm worker income is way below the U.S. government's official poverty level. What's also terrible, migrant farm workers are not protected under labor laws or occupational safety and health regulations. There have been a number of cases exposed by the Coalition of Immokalee Workers of farm worker abuse and slavery. This is why CAW's campaign for a fair living wage and decent working conditions is so important to support. Harvesting work is quite strenuous, and sometimes workers are exposed to highly toxic chemical fertilizers, herbicides, and insecticides. As a professional ecologist who has worked in environmental monitoring of farm and forestry chemical spraying, I know the biological and human health impacts of poisonous chemicals. Many farm worker families have become sick from exposure. Cancer, as well as teratogenic, immunogenic birth defects, have been seen in farm worker communities here in Southwest Florida. Farm workers return from the fields around dusk, exhausted from a long day in conditions that are basically servitude. After a simple dinner of rice and beans, workers retire with little to look forward to but to another same day at sunrise. This is the life of a farm worker. It is reminiscent of the classic 1960 CBS Reports Edward R. Murrow's TV documentary Harvest of Shame. Listeners who are interested to hear more about farm worker justice issues should listen to our many Wolf Mountain Radio Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices interview program series that features Coalition Immokalee Worker members and Student Farm Worker Alliance activists. These Encuentro programs are archived on our Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices listing on the Radio for All audio website, which is www.radioforall.net. Yadkiddishy Native Center also would like to again encourage Wolf Mountain Radio worldwide listeners to join the global movement for human dignity, human rights. Visit Amnesty International's website for more information, www.amnesty.org. Those living in what's now called America, visit Amnesty USA's website, www.amnestyusa.org. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Please listen next time for Program 3 of our special series, Defending Human Dignity, Human Rights, Voices from Amnesty International. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, Kinon Wontakwasin, to all of our relations.